Hi, I'm Michelle Blue. I'm a millennial entrepreneur and started a business just 2 weeks after I graduated college.
It's my life and I don't even know.
Okay. Each week I'm interviewing an entrepreneur, getting a real look at their stories, the lessons, the sacrifices along their journey.
And leadership is hard and you have to live at home and entrepreneurship is not easy.
Truly walk by faith and not by sight. And your life being a direct reflection of that belief system.
So, for the fellow entrepreneur, hopeful entrepreneur, or whatever path you decided to take in life, just know that the beauty lies within the journey.
Watching?
The journey.
The journey. All right, I'm going to be watching. All right.
And I can't even remember. Our meeting was so, random and bizarre, Gamal, because I was on Founder. I follow their page and get emails and stuff, and they were like, oh, this social media, grow your e-commerce business, you get these crazy results. And so I'm on there and I'm like, Sasha, we should do this. We obviously need to grow Benet. And so we're scrolling and it's like, oh, this guy, Gamal, Fresh Heritage, blah, 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 is growing his business is making $60,000 a month, right? And I was like, who is that? Turns out that we know each other. Turns out, I was like, okay, well, if Gamal did this, then I need to do this for my business. So I hit you up on Instagram, not even realizing that we already knew each other. Not even realizing that, I guess we met in Atlanta. I already had your number and everything.
I know. I remember you hit me up. I'm like, wait, your number's in here. I was like, yeah, here's my number. Give me a call. I'm like, wait, my caller ID has you locked in. This is odd.
That's crazy. You're like, who is Michelle Blue? But no, it's been so perfect.
And I had your whole government Michelle Blue, too.
Well, it comes it's a pair. You have to do both. It's not just Michelle. It is Michelle Blue. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
But you've been able to grow Fresh Heritage. I categorize you as a serial entrepreneur. You have multiple businesses. But Fresh Heritage, in particular, give me the story. What is it? How are you doing this?
Great question. So I have a beard, obviously.
You have a beard. And how long have you been growing this beard?
So I started growing this beard the day I left corporate America. So
That was your
That was my thing.
I'm out.
Yeah, because I was super professional in corporate. And I sold in my job in corporate, I was in sales. So I sold to C-level execs of large companies and all that stuff. So super corporate, clean face. When I left, this was part of me I'm a new person now, right?
Yeah.
When women cut their hair or whatever, this is my thing. Let me grow my beard. So I haven't cut my beard since I left corporate America. I've trimmed it, kept it at certain heights, but I've never had a clean face since I left corporate. So, but in growing out my hair, I realized I wasn't confident in how I looked. So I'm cognitive of how I look, how I carry myself. I been perceived decently, and my beard is jacked up.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get the splotches or
splotches
it can
and
be
all
a
that.
Rough time for men.
Yeah, it's horrible. You remember when women or men, anybody really grew out their hair and you wanted to grow beards, you go through that ugly phase?
Yeah.
Beards definitely have an ugly phase.
Ugh.
Yeah, so it sucks. But the thing is with hair, people already know that. Oh, you're growing out your hair, you're going through the ugly phase with beards. It's nah, bro.
Yeah.
There's no ugly face with beards. So I was going through that, and I started using female products to groom myself because a large majority of the beard care products out there are for everyone, and they have high alcohol content, a lot of different things that are bad for black people here. So that stuff dries your hair out. So women, I recognized years ago, a lot of companies came in the market to provide high-quality products for natural women. So I started using their stuff.
Right.
And I ran into a buddy in Target one day. And I had all these pink bottles in my hand. I was reading up on supplies, and I felt embarrassed. For a slight second, I had to explain what the hell I'm doing with.
Yeah, he's
pink
stuff. Why do you have Shea Moisture Lemons or this Jessie's?
Right.
For curls?
What's going on with this curl kit? This curl souffle? What's going on here?
Yeah.
So I'm I feel like I was buying tampons or something. I just ran up on my homie. I was
embarrassing. Abort.
Right. But then I'm yo, what are you doing down here? And I realized that in that moment, I realized we both had the same problem. So the entrepreneurial bug in me just clicked. I'm like, okay, this is an issue. And I started doing some discovery. And I interviewed, over the course of the launch, I interviewed about 300 men, either in person or online. And I realized that a large majority of them were using female products to groom themselves. majority of them at least had one Shea Moisture, Miss Jessie, whatever. I'm like, all right, entrepreneurial bug is like really starting to tick. But I didn't know what to do with it because I knew nothing about product development. I only knew about marketing, bringing products to life, right, and
but
scaling.
But you just saw there was a problem here.
I saw there was a problem.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I got out of a tech accelerator, and my brothers and I, my name originates from North Africa. So I wanted to go back and spend some time trying to like learn about our heritage. So on that trip to North Africa, we discovered some grooming traditions they use for hundreds of years. And that's actually what inspired us to start the company. So that's why there's the heritage component.
There we go.
So it's like a fresh look on our heritage in grooming. So we took that product back, started using it in my hair. I brought a lot. Keep in touch with, so over there, their pharmacies are really like homeopathic folks. They grow stuff from the ground, grind stuff. And so we kept in touch with the pharmacy because they said they could import some of their ingredients. And we tried it. My beard started flourishing, and I felt a lot more confident. It was growing fuller, thicker, patches starting to disappear. My hair is a lot more manageable, softer. And so the idea grew. The idea kind of came to life. I recognized that men had an issue and that there was no like household. There's no Shea Moisture for black men, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a lot of people getting into the space. So our aspiration is to become a household name for black grooming. So we started with beard care because it was a problem I had and it was easily identifiable. Men with beards typically have like more attention to like their grooming regimen. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to launch that way. But our aspirations is to go into all forms of skin care, hair care, and just be like a full on like grooming and professional care line.
Okay, so you know, I have a physical product, and so I know how difficult that is when you're trying to buy inventory and actually launch. And people always ask me, well, where did you get the money? And for you, what was the capital that you initially started with to build and to launch Fresh Heritage?
Great question. So I did personally put some money in, but I'll take a little step back and explain a little bit better. Physical product businesses are very expensive to get into if done wrong. So I merged a couple of different principles together. And I also encourage people not to start with a physical products business and to start with a service-based business because you can get started for your laptop with your laptop and your phone, start generating some income. Fortunately, I've had some successes in the past and I had some capital. But I learned from my experience at a tech accelerator that you don't need to spend your own money if you don't need to. So. The same people I interviewed that I went out and said, hey, I'm thinking about working on something that could be meaningful to you. I hear that you need these things and you can't find it. If I go on this journey to do this for you, it's going to
take... Because you did the customer discovery.
Because I did the customer discovery with a couple of hundred people. And so I knew exactly what they needed. They told me. And so I'm like, all right, it's going to require extensive time and resources. Can you help me bring this product to life? And they're like, yeah, what do you need? I'm like, all right, well... pre-order. Mm-hmm. Give me some money up front so I can start getting the ball rolling.
Right.
That'll let me know that you're serious.
And I love what you said before. You was like, help me so I can help you.
And that's what it's about, right? And so that's essentially what business is. The businesses who take off the most and the fastest recognize that they're solving a problem for someone and it's not about money. And they're not, it's actually not, I don't even think I'm like, technically I don't really categorize myself as selling a product. I'm helping men with beards live better lives and look better daily. And I'm doing that through the form of my physical product.
Right.
So that's like my outlook when I talk to my customers. So, and they know that. So especially early on, I'm like, hey, I want to help you look and feel better daily. Mm. I have a product that can do that, but I need your help for me to bring this to life.
I love the shift in messaging there because, again, it's not like I'm selling, buy. It's like I'm creating this to help you to improve, like you said, improve your life, improve your experience. And this is something, I'm solving a problem that you have. So I think that's something we can all challenge ourselves in our businesses. How do we position it as I'm here as an aid and not here for you to, you know, pick this up and put it in your cart type of situation?
Absolutely, because in the physical product space, there's not a whole lot of differentiation. It's not like you have some crazy like algorithm or something like that, right? It's more so about brand, purpose, and story. That's really like your own, like, that's your only intellectual property as a brand. So just like that subtle shift in messaging and letting your audience, like giving reasons for your audience not to go spend somewhere else, like them buying into your story, them buying into your purpose, them buying into the fact that, you know, you're here for them. That's what really sets brands apart in the physical product space.
Right. Okay, so you launched the crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. How much money did you get from that?
Not a whole lot. We pre-sold maybe like 50 to 100 orders, but it was enough to let me know that from my small list, it was enough to let me know that there's opportunity here.
Okay.
So then what I did was I bought the first 1,000 bottles and got the site up and all that. Like that proof allowed me to like invest in it and like take off. And then we ran through that, and I'm like, all right, well, we need to buy a lot more. We need to be buying like 5,000, 10,000 at a time.
5,000 to 10,000 bottles.
Yeah.
At a time. Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, let me reach out to people who I have known in the past, who I've done work with, advisors, mentors, things like that. And I positioned it to them. I was like, hey, you know, for people who are trying to raise money, I find that people at this early stage where they're struggling to raise money, it's not really because you don't know the right people or anything like that. It's really because you hadn't settled on a problem yet and positioned it in a way that people need to give you money. So instead of coming to someone and saying, hey, I got this idea, I want to launch it, I came to them and say, hey, I got demand.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here are these pre-orders.
Right.
Or at the later time, I said, hey, we sold out, and I need money to buy bigger inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So the conversation of them giving, and they only gave me about $40,000. It wasn't a lot to get started. But the conversation was different. It wasn't like, hey, let me get some money to like go on this whim. It was more
proof.
Like, it's proof, but it's position and proof in a way.
Yeah.
So it was like, hey, here's the orders, here's the pre-orders. I just need your money to like give them the product.
Right.
And so we took off after that.
So I think the common thing is friends, families, and fools.
Friends, families, and fools.
So you hit that. You hit all of that.
Just
I mean, we won't say fools.
Just fools. No, I'm just joking.
But just the fools were able to buy in. But it was a great buy-in for them. It definitely proved successful and worthwhile.
We've been off to a good start.
Yeah. So now you've had Fresh Heritage for how long? It hasn't been in business crazy long.
About 15 months.
15 months. So less than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I reached out because I saw your feature on Founder, and I was like, you grew your business within 6 months to $60,000 in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's very impressive.
I appreciate that.
There's a lot of people who have been in business for a lot longer who haven't amassed that much success. What do you think are some key, I mean, kind of like transferable marketing tools and strategies that you use in Fresh Heritage that people could use in growing their businesses?
Cool. So the founder piece is instrumental. So I actually am a big believer in speeding up my learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honest. I told you that I knew nothing about product discovery and like physical products. I just knew how to market and sell.
Yeah.
So the founder course, I love their community. You know, like they're a great community, which I happen to have been fortunate to go over to Australia and meet them this year.
Wait, hold on. You were on what island?
One of them little islands over there, you know what I'm saying? One of them
real
islands.
Low key.
One little low key island.
Like exclusive.
You know what I'm saying?
Like invite only island.
It was dope though. It was three of us from around the world. We flew in. We got some time to spend with them for about a week, half a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, like, a really cool mastermind that really unlocked a lot of opportunities. And we met with people who did $1 million in a day in e-commerce. There was a 17-year-old kid that did $8 million last year while in high school. I mean, it was just like insane.
My heart.
Yeah, it was insane. So I got exposed to a lot, but I recognize I always am invested in like coaching, courses, conferences, etc. And I took that course to learn about like the how to differentiate my product in the physical product space, how to launch, setting up Shopify, all the apps needed. It's kind of that space, like the operations and kind of like the daily stuff. And they're really big on influencer marketing. So I took that concept, applied my background and experience in paid social media and like scaling, and we took off. So like we actually did 60K in the first 90 days, and then we did 60K that month. So like within that 30, like in 90 days after launch, and within those 30 days, we did 60K. And so we just kind of took off. And a large part of that was because of my experience with Founder and then me being able to take other life experiences and add in that paid media to it. So the one video we launched, which we just launched with our phone, nothing super fancy, very low key, low budget. We got over 10 million views with that now.
Mm-hmm.
And on our social media profiles in the past 15 months, we've gotten about 80,000 followers across Facebook and Instagram, about 25,000 emails, about 500 like positive reviews, and it's been taking off. It's been a blessing. We've got one guy who's bought from us 12 times in the past 15 months.
Wow.
So
how much beer oil does he need?
I know, right?
How much beer does he have by now? But I think that's really important that you even mentioned the video that you did on your cell phone. It's because a lot of times, especially when you're about to start your, or haven't started your business yet, you're wanting everything to be so perfect. You're like, oh, but I need a studio. I need a set. I need great lighting. Like, you know, and that stunts us from moving forward in the process. And it doesn't always have to be that, you know. It can really be from your cell phone, selfie, like say your script, whatever you have to do, showcase your product, and then put some of the marketing dollars behind it from like paid Facebook, paid Instagram ads, and launch from there. And that can be done in a matter of hours, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really great to really break it down for people that it's doable. It's really doable.
I find that the more experienced entrepreneurs, comparing them to the newer entrepreneurs, the seasoned entrepreneurs know what to focus on early on. Newer entrepreneurs are focusing on the wrong things early on.
Like pretty business cards?
Pretty business cards, super cool website.
Yeah, that was me for a minute.
All that stuff. Multiple products, like especially in e-commerce. So a lot of the advice I got were from people, and I got a lot of advice from people starting off. Don't do it. You can't only come out with one product, a bunch of stuff. But you got to take into perspective who's giving you the advice, right? And so a lot of people were telling me I need to come out with like a whole suite of products. I'm like, no way. Because I knew that I didn't know anything about developing products and that I was relying on a lot of help from the folks back in North Africa and finding a local manufacturing partner to help bring that product to life. And I'm like, you know what? I want to be known for doing one thing really well. That's why one person would buy this thing 12 times in a little over a year, because you become known for one great thing. So now when you introduce product number two,
right,
product number three, the people who brought product number one know you for bringing high quality stuff to market.
Perfecting that.
And the first product went through four iterations, so it wasn't perfect at front, right? There's like a really cool thing I look at for launch, and it says, if you're not completely embarrassed by the first version of your product, you started too late.
Yeah, we talked about that too, yeah.
Just get it out there. Let the customers tell you what needs to happen and iterate along the way. Now when I come out with new products, people who bought the first one know that my brand comes out with quality. If I came out with three products, maybe one would have been good, two would have been crappy.
Right.
The next time I bring out four and five, they may not have that confidence that it's going to be a good product or the bad product.
Right. It's diluting the brand.
It is.
But it also dilutes your money. Right?
True, I'm wasting money.
You're wasting money. And
wasting
if you're
advertising.
An entrepreneur,
I'm splitting advertising across five products, development across five products.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Because you started Fresh Heritage and then you actually didn't quit your job until like, what, months later? What was it? What was that like in between stage? What kept you from taking that leap?
That was a great question. And that is, so that's a deep one. So I think, I just thought about this, and I think that's what led me to social media MBA, because I realized at the time that I thought I did on the outside. I was like 20-something, six-figure job. I started this side business that made 107K my first 90 days. Like, things were doing well. But realistically, I wasn't confident in myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the confidence internally. And that's what kept me there.
Yeah.
Because I never really fully believed in my potential. Mm. Even though on the outside it may have looked like I did, I really didn't. And so I didn't realize that until after the fact, because I launched my business. I got into social media marketing in September 2013. By the end of the year, I made six figures. By next April, I made six figures a month, and I still didn't leave my job. So it wasn't like I prayed about it. I did that month, and I prayed about it. I'm like, God, you know, what do you think? What do you think I should do? I'm in this situation. I think I have an opportunity to really take off, but it's not stable, right? And so I came from like a Caribbean family where you got to be like nurse, doctor, big job or something. And so I don't think I had the courage to like show up to people, not put on a suit and tie every day, and just say, you know, be in shorts and be like, what do you do? I work from home. Like, one part of me didn't have the confidence to be able to say that and, like, feel good about it. So I prayed about it, and within 30 days, God got me fired from my job. I was a rock star, and I prayed about it, and I said, God showed me a sign, and he took my job from me.
Wow. Burn the plow.
So I applied for that job in 2011. So I haven't updated my resume since 2011. And so I think now, in retrospect, all of the things that happened to me along the way really worked on me building confidence in myself. Because I worked on another deal where I raised about $10 million to buy a company.
Right.
Because, again, I didn't want to do internet marketing. It wasn't a real job. I wanted to buy, like, a physical brick-and-mortar thing. Moved out all the missing pieces, raised all the money from investors, senior debt, equity, raised millions of dollars, did all the work, got to the end, the deal fell apart.
Oh, wow.
I was left with $240K in, like, debt that I was responsible for repaying. And I was screwed. I was going through a period of depression. And I'm like, you know, I thought I was being led by God. Like, why did I do this? In retrospect, now I know is I got over that. And now I know is now I think I can take on the world. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like, what's the worst that can happen now? I'm in the whole six figures. Been there, done that. Like, I got this. So I think all the things along the way helped me prepare to, like, who I am now. Like, I'm really confident. Not in, like, a cocky way. I just know, like, I'm being led.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what, so now I have no fear of, like, trying things. And so the other piece of why I now create Social Media MBA is because in retrospect, I realized that I was that person. So now I think I want to put these tools in place to be able to inspire and help up-and-coming entrepreneurs who want to launch an idea but are afraid. They may look confident on the outside, but the reality why they're not starting is because they're afraid. I want to give them, like, a proven methodology that I've used time and time again to launch companies successfully. So thanks for asking me that. I just realized that's why I'm here today. All of these things along the way have, like, led me here.
Thank you. So I appreciate you, Sean. You sharing, come on.
Thanks for asking.
I don't have a beard. Joshua doesn't have a beard. But we'll have to get some. And you have the vitamins too, though.
Yeah, so we'll be coming out with some additional products for him. So we're coming out with the washing conditioner and some additional. We're getting the skincare for men who shave and stuff. So hang tight. We'll have some stuff for him and anyone else in your life.
Okay. No, I always close out, Gamal, because I'm like, rap is like what motivates me and kind of what gets me going in this life. Give me one song lyric. It can be anything, trap, country, trio, that kind of like gets you in the headspace of like, oh, I got this.
Man. So I love old school Jay-Z, and actually like older Drake too, like earlier on. So I'm always listening to Reasonable Doubt. And so, like, what gets me, because at one point I was considering going back to MBA school. Mm. Had an opportunity to go to a pretty decent MBA program. And I was talking to my mentors about it, who went to, like, Harvard and a bunch of good schools. And he was like, you know what? I don't think you need Harvard. I think you can just, like, go make it happen. And so, like, my favorite Jay-Z lyric is just, like, never went to Harvard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just love that.
You have to finish the lyric.
Oh, true. Far from a Harvard student, just had the balls to do it.
Just had the balls to do it. I posted that on the Journey with Blue before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I love that. It just gave me the confidence. I'm like, yo, all the other stuff, I'm going to learn in the streets. I'm going to learn in the Hard Knocks University, and I'm going to just make it happen. So that's been my journey, just kind of, like, kind of going against the grain a little bit, just like jumping out the plane, figuring out the parachute on the way down, and just making it happen.
I respect it.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Gamal. So enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I hope you were inspired by this conversation on The Journey with Blue. Join me on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe on YouTube to continue the encouragement. And remember that whatever road you decide to take, the beauty lies within the journey. Until next time, Blue.